In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What a story. Drama, tension, everything's there. It's an interesting setting, too, a setting that in this week particularly, I think we who are conscious of what we're doing on campus we're prepared to hear about people who are in exile, people who are far from their homes, people who have been sent away sometimes under very unpleasant circumstances. And it's hard for us to imagine how someone like Joseph could just say, well, let's let bygones be bygones and get on with life. I didn't really have time to prepare a sermon this morning, I'm sorry. But a friend of mine had written down some notes about this text, particularly about Joseph's words, I am your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Don't be distressed or dismayed, I think our text said, or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God has sent me before you to preserve life. So here's what my friend Martin thought about this text. Joseph cannot demonstrate with sufficient clarity that he is their brother without making mention of their sin. So he speaks very mildly and quietly. He doesn't magnify the crime the way that it really deserves to be treated. He doesn't say, I'm the guy you threw into the pit in a criminal fashion. You plotted against my life. You brought bitter grief upon our father. No, he says very gently, whom you sold, omits everything else that would sound so harsh. It's as though he were saying, you know why I came here. I didn't leave your company and the company of my father on my own accord. You know why I was transported here. He was not only forgiving the brother's sin, but softening and hiding their disgrace, their shamelessness. He was treating them kindly with love. So the Holy Spirit worked with the patriarchs. Joseph was able to conceal, to pardon, to offer himself up as a cover for his brothers. He had to tell them that he was the one whom they had sold so that they would know who he really was. Proof was in the details. But then he absolves them from their sin. And not only absolves them, but announces to them the riches of grace and favor. I am the one whom you sold. Your sin is manifest and well known. You don't have to confess your sin. It's just there on the table. And then he speaks kindly and indulgently with his betrayers, the ones who had sold him. No desire for vengeance, no desire for showing some harm or ill will, pure mercy and goodness from the bottom of his heart. He says to them, don't be dismayed, don't despair. This word dismay is the same word that Christ uses in John 16:21, when a woman is in travail, she is dismayed. Genesis 3:16, I will greatly multiply your pain, your despair in childbearing. And the word is etzer. Etzer. And Joseph is saying, I don't want your burdened conscience to be crushed by this etzer. I command you to be content with my goodwill and to be of good cheer. For I shall gladly forgive you this sin. There's no reason for you to be consumed by the grief you're feeling. Don't be troubled. It's a very, very beautiful absolution. He says, don't think I'm angry. Cheer up. You have no cause for sadness and grief. There's nothing worse than a guilty conscience. It tortures, it distresses, it makes you shake in your boots. For from a guilty conscience spring all kinds of discomfort and despair and grief. No one knows this sort of thing apart from an evil conscience, and there's no joy like that of a good conscience. Sorrow of the heart is death and hell itself. And it must be counteracted. If you experience it yourself or if you experience it in someone else, let everyone and anyone who can do so close this hell and open heaven, so that distressed hearts that are consumed by the consciousness of their sin and grief may be freed. So Joseph deals here with his brothers in a kindly way to give them some confidence. He showed his wisdom as he came to their guilty consciences. Don't think I'm angry. All has been pardoned, all has been forgiven, and consigned to oblivion. I love you from the depths of my heart. I love you like the brother I am. That's what it means to forgive a brother a fault, to simply wipe it away. Initially, Joseph had tried to humble his brothers and succeeded very well in order that they might despair completely of their safety, so that they might think they would also never return to their father. They thought they were in for certain a never-ending slavery, and then he pardons them with such great mercy and kindness that he even weeps as they weep. I guess Joseph too had the gift of weeping. It's very difficult to buoy up and revive a heart in despair, a conscience overwhelmed by sorrow. Those who are being tested in this way are not very easily gladdened. You really have to work at it to bring someone who is weighed down with sin and guilt back to a knowledge of the goodness and mercy of God and to trust in his goodness and his mercy. And this story reminds us of the long-suffering and the kindness with which Christ dealt with his disciples after the resurrection, how he gently addressed them, how he showed them his hands and his side, and then offers to be felt and heard and seen and eats with them, chats with them. And they didn't compose themselves all at once. And we have countless examples throughout Scripture of how difficult it is to console a conscience. It's more difficult to console a conscience than to wake the dead. But Christ does it. The Holy Spirit does it in Holy Scripture to teach us how to console and to lift up the guilty as well. It really is more difficult to revive than to kill, as we know from daily experience. Joseph comforts his brother in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of their great fear, even though they hadn't actually straightforwardly confessed their sin. He just says, "Don't be consumed by grief. Don't think that I have tried to destroy you or that I have ill will against you. I've only wanted to lead you to repentance and to bring you back to the mercy of God and the peace it gives. Death has been put to flight. Hell has been closed. Sin has been forgiven. Heaven has been opened." Now that's a real high priest, an intercessor par excellence. And that's absolution as it lives and breathes. Because in Joseph's story and in ours, absolution has the final word. It's the way it is in this fourth week of Lent in our Lord's year 2013. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.